God our praise through song and through prayer and through studying His Word. We are concluding our series that we have been looking at this month of the idea of being together in Christ. And we're going to conclude that this morning with the idea of giving together. We might think of our giving in maybe it's a little bit less than everything else that we do together. Maybe we think, well, it's just something that we do to keep the lights on. Or maybe we just think it's something that we do just because we have to. But the Bible teaches us that giving is a deeply expressive form of worship to God. That our giving is no less meaningful than when we are singing with all four lobes, as we learned from T-Bone, of our mind as we sing together. It's no less important than when we are fervently praying to God together. Giving is that expression of our worship to God. And there is great meaning and value in our giving. So this morning, I want us just to answer two questions. And the first is, well, why do we give? Well, we see that it expresses our gratitude. That when we consider all that God has done for us, I mean, He's created this universe. He's created you and me. And He blesses us every day. I mean, we woke up today and God gave us blessings. And the greatest blessing of all is His Son that He sent to die for us. We are greatly blessed. And when we consider all of those blessings, as it says in James 1 and verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. All of that brings us to a mindset of gratitude. In our scripture reading, we saw that Israel was grateful. That because of their gratitude, they gave in this abundance of all sorts of things that they had, or ways in which they can contribute to the work of building the tabernacle. And it says there in verse 21 of Exodus 35, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting. What is it? What was the stirring of the heart? What was the spirit that moved them? It was that idea of gratitude because of what God had done for them. That God had brought them out of Egypt. God had brought them through. Now they are His people. He is protecting them. He's overseeing them. And they're grateful for it. And they want to do something. They want to show their gratitude. It's not that God needs anything from us. Anything He ever needed, He could create. It's not that I can ever give something back to God and say, God, oh, here, you don't have this. Let me give it to you. But it is a way in which we can show our thankfulness unto Him by giving just a fraction of what He has given to us. We also give because God asks us to give. From the beginning, He has asked us to bring Him our best. You think about it. You go all the way back to Cain and Abel. God wanted their best. You come up all the way to Israel, and God says, I want you to give me the first. Give me the first fruits. Give me the very first. The firstborn lamb without defect. He says, I want what is very best of yours, and I want you to give that to me. And I ask, well, wait a minute, why? Why does God want that? And the answer is that He gives us His very best. He is the one who is always giving to us what is the greatest thing ever. God doesn't give second hands. There's no hand-me-downs that God says, oh, here, I'm going to give this to Adam today. It's always His best. He gave us His only Son to die in our stead. So many times we call that idea of giving a sacrifice. A sacrifice is measured in what it costs us. It is, we might define it as the relinquishing of something we could hardly afford to do without. That there is something of mine that I really can't do without, but I'm going to give it up. That there is a cost involved, a significant personal loss to me. It's not a matter of giving out of my surplus, because there's no cost there. If I've got extra, oh yeah, here, no, that doesn't impact me the way it does if I am giving from a sacrifice. It's interesting. David would not give something to the Lord that wouldn't cost him. In 2 Samuel 24, we have where David has sinned, and there is a plague that has come upon the children of Israel. And God has given him the direction that the way in which he can go and stop it is he can go and make an offering to him. And so we see there is the angel of the Lord there at the threshing floor of Araunah. And here comes David. And he comes and Araunah says, "Here, why are you here, king?" And he says, "I've got to make a sacrifice." Araunah says, "Here, you can take it all. You can take my threshing floor, and here's the wood for it. Here's my oxen. You slaughter those as the burnt offering. Everything I have. Here you go, king." But notice what David says in verse 24. "However, the king said to Araunah, 'No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. For I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which costs me nothing.' So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver." David says, it's got to cost me. Because here's the true idea, here's the whole point of that, is that the degree of our sacrifice shows the priority of God in our hearts. If I'm not willing to give up everything, well, what does that say to God? It says He's second, third, fourth, maybe fifth on the ladder of my priorities in my life. Paul said it this way: "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." Paul could tout some accolades. He says in that passage before verse 8, he says, "I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Pharisee, oh man, I was the greatest Pharisee there was." And he goes on, he lists all of the things, his pedigree, all of these types of things, but he gets to verse 8 and he says, "I give it all up for knowing Jesus Christ. I'd sacrifice all of that." And even he says, that is but rubbish. King James Version uses the word dung. Paul says, the surpassing value of Christ is everything. That is the ultimate value in our life. And God has given us the ultimate sacrifice to show us what kind of priority we are to Him. He said, "I have given my only Son." What should that do for us? It should go, I'm pretty important to God. He gave me everything to show me how much I matter to Him. You see, we can't truly give until we give ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we won't take the time to look at it in detail, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's trying to motivate them to give. And he talks about the Macedonians and how that these Macedonians have given. He says, I'm overwhelmed by the way that they've given, that they've given out of their poverty, and yet they continue to give. But he makes the statement in there in verse 5. He says, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You see, we give because we are living sacrifices. That we give because we've already given everything over to God. That's what Romans 12 and verse 1 talks about. As Paul there says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, or living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. God wants us to sacrifice all that we have and all that we are to Him in submission to Him. But He does that because that is for our good. To be totally submitted to Him is for our best interest. He wants to have that same place in our hearts that He has in the universe. Priority number one. He wants us to know and believe that He is so good, kind, and loving that we would entrust all of ourselves to Him. Because He has our best interest as His priority. You see, He asks us to give ourselves because He always directs us into what is good. Bringing our first fruits is good for us. Our focus is not on what we give up, but what we gain. You know, we often look at words like sacrifice and surrender in a negative connotation. We always think of those are the bad things because we associate them with what we have to give up rather than what we gain. But let me ask you this question. When Jesus told the parable of the man who found the hidden treasure in the field, and Jesus said that that man went and he sold everything that he had so that he could buy that field and gain that treasure. Do we look at that man and go, wow, look at what you gave up. You sacrificed everything. Man, you shouldn't have done that. No, we look at it from the opposite. We say, wow, look at what he got. Look at the hidden treasure that was so much more valuable than everything else that he gave up. You see, when we give and we sacrifice, it's not a matter of what we give up. It's a matter of what we gain. Because in giving, we become more like God. Is God a giver or a taker? He's a giver. Does God give abundantly or stingily? Abundantly. Now, would we say that God is missing out then because he is an abundant giver? Do we look at him and go, wow, why do you do that? Oh, you could just have such a better time if you hold on to things. No. We sit there and we say, God, I love you for being an abundant giver. There is satisfaction that God gains by giving freely and abundantly to us. You see, this is why God loves a cheerful giver. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. He says that God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because God's a cheerful giver. He loves to give. Because in giving, he gains that joy. He gains that satisfaction to know, I've given to my children. I'm so happy that I've met their needs. That's why we give. Because in giving, we become more like God. Let's look at the second question then. Why do we give together? Well, really, it's a question then of collective versus individual giving. Someone might ask, well, you know, why doesn't God just say, go pick five of your favorite charities and go give to them? Wouldn't that accomplish the same thing? I'm giving of myself. I'm sacrificing. So why wouldn't that be better? Well, collectively, we accomplish more than we could do on our own. And while there are certainly so many charities out there, but just giving to them is not necessarily the Lord's work. And in giving, what we see is that we are part of the Lord's work. Israel was part of the Lord's work, as we've already read in Exodus 35. Think about what it says there. The Israelites, all the men and women whose hearts moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. God didn't tell them, you have to bring this. They did it of their own accord. They did it freely. Now here's what I want you to see. Could God have just provided all of that? Could he have provided the gold, the silver, the bronze, the wood? Could he have provided all of the material, the clothing? Just said, here you go. This is what you need. Sure he could have. But why does he say, hey, I want you to give? Because now they're invested in what that work is. It's not just, oh, well, God did this for us. It's we are a part of this. We are invested in this work that is being done. You see, when we give together, we are participating in the Lord's work. It's not just something physical that we are a part of, but something spiritual. That God's will, while it has physical effects, is certainly spiritual in nature. That to proclaim the salvation of the world, to proclaim that through the gospel, is so spiritual in nature that it draws us to spiritual things. And that in doing that, when we do that together, as we've talked about this whole month, there is a sense of unity that comes. That I can't have that sense of unity if I'm just going and giving to whatever charity I want. There is a drawing of us together when we give together. And we are fulfilling needs when we give together. That when we give together, yes, it is our responsibility. Yes, it is our obligation. But when we do that, it becomes a blessing to us. That our collective efforts are fulfilling needs of others. In 2 Corinthians 8 and also in chapter 9, we see that's what Paul was trying to get the Corinthians to do. He was motivating them to say, look, there is a need. There are saints in Judea who are without food because of the famine. And he's saying, it is going to be of... He says, yes, you're going to fulfill their need, but when you do that, then you gain. There's a blessing to you. The same is true with us. That when we give, it becomes a blessing to us. That our giving then becomes a matter of lasting value. There are a number of causes, a number of organizations that we could say, you know what, I'm going to give to that. But the question really comes down to, what is it that has the lasting value? What I would say to you is, things that change people's lives have lasting value. Lives that change. Because we're living sacrifices. Our lives have changed. It's not about us anymore. It's about God and glorifying Him because of what He's done for us. And so we give to change the lives of others. We give so that saints here, if they're going through difficult times financially, the shepherds then can say, here, let us help you out. We give so that there are times when saints are struggling emotionally and they need counseling, that we can help them in that. We give so that we can be a part of proclaiming the gospel to souls in need. You see, that's why we give. It's about need. It's not about checking something off, but it's about saying, I am a part of something bigger. I'm a part of doing what God wants. You see, we give with our hearts focused on a purpose and a mission. And that really brings us back to the very beginning. Because if I think that all I'm doing is I'm giving to keep the lights on, or maybe it's better to say it, if we are giving to meet a budget, then our giving is always going to be mediocre. It's always going to be, okay, well, did we meet our budget? Okay, yeah, good. Okay, I can take my money. I can go do other things with it. But if we are giving with a purpose and a mission in mind, then our giving is not, well, what is the least that I can give? But it becomes, what is the most that I can give to God? What is the most that I can sacrifice to God? It's not a matter of comparing ourselves to others. It's not a matter of saying, well, so-and-so over here is giving this much, so I gotta keep up with them. It's not a matter of that. The widow gave 2 mites, but that was everything for her. What are we willing to give? Ask yourself that. Because I think this is an area where we can do better. We can evaluate ourselves and say, what is it? Am I giving to where it is a true sacrifice? Or am I giving just out of my surplus? As Dave already mentioned, on November 13th, the elders are going to present to us the vision and goals for 2017. That's going to help us to see the purpose, to see the mission of what we are about, to help then evaluate ourselves and saying, okay, here's what we have before us. What am I willing to give? And I don't mean just money. I mean of our time, of our effort, of all that we are. What are we willing to give? I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 and 8. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. My question to you this morning is, what have you given to God? Does it matter if you say, well, you know, I wrote the biggest check I've ever written to my Lord? If you haven't given yourself, you haven't given everything. And that's what it's all about. Have you given everything to your Lord? Because I'll tell you this, he gave everything for you. He watched his son die in a place that was for you and for me. I should have been on that cross. You should have been on that cross. But the Father said, I will send my son. I'll give everything so that I can have you. Any way we can help you this morning, whether to become a Christian, or maybe you're struggling, there are things that you have in your life you're still holding on to, you haven't given that over to God. Let us pray with you. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.